At the Hollowell Manor, Victor is holding the reception for the Hollowell sisters' funeral. Piper and Phoebe are there in new forms while Agent Keys of the Homeland Security is keeping an eye on things. Janice Dickinson shows up crying over Paige. However, Piper and Phoebe recognize quote-unquote Janice as Paige in a glamour and bust her on it. Welcome to Brunch with the Hollowells. This is season 8 of the podcast as we recap the final season of Charmed, season 8. Joining me once again is Ryan. He's back to do another season with us. How's it going?
I won't let it end. I won't let it end. This is not the final season of Charmed, and I refuse to accept it. But as always, I am so happy to be back and here to finish the series off with Rob.
Yes, we knew this day was coming. I didn't know what it would look like when it did, but here we are. Hopefully, we all have a wonderful, wonderful season. Thanks to everyone who contributed to the Hot Man Meter before. We are definitely going to start a new list and keep your thoughts coming to possibly be read or heard for the Charming Confessions. But let's get to our episode. We're doing Still Charmed and Kicking. This air date was September 25th, 2005. It was written by Brad Kern and directed by James L. Conway. All the usual suspects are back. The Charmed Ones, Leo Wyatt. But we have a newcomer, Billy Jenkins, played by Kaylee Coco. We have some guest stars, Janice Dickinson. We have Beatrice Rosen, James Reed, Victor Bennett, Jennifer Rhodes, Penny Hollowell, Rebecca Balding back as Elise. We have Mikael Shannon Jenkins as Paul Hawes. We have Derek Magyar as Elkin. Glenn Morshower back as Agent Keys from last season. Adrian Wilkinson as one of our glamours. Brandon Quinn, Agent Murphy. Yes. We have another FBI agent. Amongst a lot of other people, Dorian Brown, another glamoured charmed one, and Jason Lewis, a recurring love interest, playing Dex. All right, so Ryan, what did you think of Still Charmed and Kicking?
Leo looks fantastic. I think over the summer break, I always say this, I think he looks so good in season 8. And I think the show looks very fresh. This is the season I've rewatched the least amount of time, so it's always fresh for me in a way.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
This is going to be very fresh to me too. I barely remember hardly all of the big details of what happens in each episode. So most of these are going to be like first watches, especially now that I'm analyzing it more. But Ryan, back to the original question.
What did
you think of this episode?
Not my favorite opener ever of a season. It did enough to set up the plot of this season. So it's a decent episode.
Okay, I actually was more entertained than I expected with this first episode.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I was very surprised by this. I do enjoy this opening, though. The reveal of the sisters I thought was great. What I would have loved is if this season had started without any behind-the-scenes news that the sisters were returning. They yeah. should have just made it look like the glamours were going to be the leads. And
oh
then,
my God.
And then when they're in the kitchen, you just reveal that the sisters are back and it's them doing another season. I don't know how they would have kept that under wraps, but I just liked the intro of the sisters and it was also really nice to see their faces once again. So I do enjoy that opening. But yeah, I was actually more entertained than I thought that I was going to be for this one. So this one was fun. I thought it was cool. What was that moment? This was an okay episode for you, but was there a specific play, a moment that you enjoyed watching?
I think the moment where Paige says someone had to cry at my funeral, that always makes me laugh. But it also is just, I feel like, a summary of the poor Paige character of she never gets that Piper and Phoebe love.
Well, I mean, first of all, who the hell are the rest of the people there? I've never seen them.
Pretending they know the Hollowell sisters now.
Yeah, I have never seen any of them in my life. Like, they all know somebody who all of a sudden wants to come around. I thought that was hilarious. I actually had a few moments that could be my play, but I ended up with Victor standing up to the elders regarding the boys. I really enjoyed how he stood up for them and was like, you're not taking these kids, even though the stakes are really high. Like, it's really not feasible for this human to be, you know, watching over two powerful beings. So how are you going to do it? And how are you going to protect them? I mean, these are really good questions. I think the elders' approach was horrible. And nobody is going to quickly just be like, you'll take them? Sure. They're right upstairs. Like, you can't expect them to just agree right away.
There'll be some people, those family members that never wanted those children inherited. They're like, yep, take them away, elder. Terrible.
And for that reason, and also his demeanor with him talking to Leo about how challenging it's going to be, the way that he's just been go with the flow with the whole magic thing and the daughters being cousins, he's coming through this episode, which makes him my MVP.
Oh, I loved Daddy Victor getting some love. I'm going double Paige, Rob. She was the only one I felt like in this whole episode yes, at various points, Piper maybe felt something, but she still has that moral core of need to help innocence, and she is more than just a witch now, and she her calling. So I like that Paige, her first instinct was to go after that woman's purse. That's who she is, and that's why Paige Matthew Hollowell is going to be my double today.
Awesome. And did you happen to add anyone to your hot man meter of season 8?
Pause for a dramatic effect. Yes, Rob. Yes, I did. It's raining
men. I also added some... today, yeah, as well.
A bunch, huh?
Already starting off real strong. All right. Well, it sounds like we are going to have a lot to talk about. So why don't we get started?
I'm so excited. Season 8, here we go.
Paige is unhappy. No one cares that she was dead, except for leprechauns. But they're interrupted by the arrival of a mysterious man. Leo in a disguise of his own. Okay, this was very sloppy. I can't believe they allowed themselves to be themselves in the kitchen when anyone can walk in. And then Paige is like, we can explain. Oh, you can explain dead women standing in the kitchen. I was like, this is so sloppy. But again, I get it. They got lucky. And I like, it's funny that Piper recognized him. I'm guessing he was that look for a while. I don't know.
Rob, I have so many words about this moment, and that's why this was just an okay episode.
It's fine. No, it's fine. So Paige is interrupted by a signal from her charge, even though the elders don't know she's alive. There are... I know, we've discussed this. We'll move on. There are demons nearby, making sure that they are dead, and the sisters refuse to encounter them. Phoebe notices a guy from the paper that she was attracted to, even though she never knew his name. So, seriously, I would really, really want to know who shows up at my funeral. I mean, that's like one of the biggest things for me, is that I wish I can find out who came through. But poor Paige. I mean, only the magical people wanting to come see her. But then you have to ask yourself, who was Paige before the Hollowells? Like, does she not know many people? Does she not have, a lot of people in her life? Was she very introverted, closed off? Did she not handle relationships well? Do they not know where she was this whole time? You know, why is it that no one showed up for her? I mean, I know that she doesn't have, a big name to where she's on billboards or she has a club where people know of her, but it's just funny how the lack of friends that she has, even though they did mention Glenn, and I'm glad that they did, and he came by.
Thank God. That would have been a travesty, honestly. But guess what? Even your best friend Paige now didn't go to your funeral.
I'm just really surprised that she doesn't know more people. Or does she bother to maintain friendships or whatever, you know? So it kind of sucks. But I will say, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, didn't she have that aunt and uncle that we heard of?
Well, I heard of the uncle, but I don't know if he was.
That's true. You know, I just gave him a wife. But yeah. I think that or the fact, Rob, that's a great question, is that all over time, they all lost track of their, you know, which I guess really did happen, their friends and their family because of the whole magic thing. So maybe that's what happened.
I will say that their photos were all beautiful. I love every single portrait that they had of them.
Exactly. Honestly, they got the best photos of them. I agree. I thought that was really good.
Also, I want to give a huge, huge, huge shout out to Glamoured Piper, played by Dorian Brown. She was very impressive getting down all the mannerisms of Piper, even her tone and infliction. Like, you could just tell she was that sassy, pessimistic, sarcastic Piper. And I just loved her performance throughout this episode. I just thought she was great.
Rob, I actually, between her and Phoebe's actresses, I believe maybe one time I read that maybe they studied the actresses behind the scenes.
I'm not surprised, and I'm glad they did some homework.
Almost like our blonde sisters in the past. But isn't it crazy that I couldn't tell at some points if it was Alyssa and Holly's voices or the actresses? I'm like, is it a combination? Is it their voices? That was actually really impressive. I agree.
Yeah, yeah. Janice Dickinson, do you know who she is?
Yes, and that was...
Yeah, that was pretty funny and so random. I mean, I think she was definitely popular back
in the day at the time, right?
To just kind of show up. But I don't blame Paige one bit for glamoring her and giving her a little oomph to her side of the memorial. I would have done the exact same thing.
I mean, I know why it must have been Janice Dickinson, but who would you have glamored at your funeral? Please, someone bigger than Janice Dickinson. I mean, unless you love Janice Dickinson, then go ahead. Amen. But
the ultimate crier herself, Viola Davis. If she shows up crying the way that she does, I would love her at my funeral.
That's amazing. That's Do you have somebody, actually? Oh, damn. I would say I hope they're extremely good looking, whoever it is. I'll be shallow at my funeral. Yeah, I'm not shallow in life. I always criticize, but at my funeral, you know what? Let me be shallow.
You wonder, though, if Glenn had his wife with him when he showed up to this funeral.
She stayed in the car. You know, she's like, I'm just going to stay here. You go in and that's it.
You think they're still together?
Honestly, I don't know. Maybe they got lost on one of a travel together and because they like to camp and go places. But I was honestly this whole thing. I'm glad they mentioned Glenn, but I wish they would have mentioned Daryl sent these flowers or something just to give him a shout out that he's not here anymore. Budget cut.
So this scene had Dex, Jason Lewis. I know him from Sex and the City. He also showed up in a small part in Brothers and Sisters. It was one of my favorite shows.
Me too! And
he showed up as a gay, and I loved him for playing that part. But he was also a very charismatic and caring boyfriend to Samantha on Sex and the City. I just adore Jason Lewis, in my opinion. This character, unfortunately, is not one of my favorites of his, but I adore him, which brings me to my first hot man meter. He definitely made the list, at least for now.
So scandalous.
The last thing that I want to say about this scene is, as we were talking about who showed up to everyone's sort of like table to give condolences, what would Prue do if she was there? Now, who would you expect to show up at this memorial, finally, for Prue? Now, she already got a funeral, of course, but let's just change the future a little bit. She gets her own section of the house. Who is showing up?
Well, let's say Jack should definitely. Something yes. from Jack. Something from Jack. But I'm also going to say the father that she helped to get revenge on his daughter's death from season 2. I want to be like the random people that Prue touched over the years.
No, totally fair. So, yeah, I would have Jack show up for sure. Definitely Jack. Maybe her boss from 415.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And I definitely want Max to show up. Yeah, so those are my three.
You might hear Max very shortly.
No, I know. But yeah, it would be great if those three showed up. I think that would be awesome to, you know, celebrate Prue and whatnot. So
I love it. And actually, I think that Prue would have been if Paige wasn't around, I think Prue would have been the funny character to have that awkward moment of, I can't believe more people didn't show up at my funeral. More people came to Phoebe's funeral than like my urn. Then the only thing I have to say is the fact that the girls went through all this, told us what they went through, and then literally deglamored in the kitchen frustrates me to no end. It shows either the writing was either just cheap or...
Well, I was going to ask you if this is a result of just bad writing or is it in character for them to do that? I mean, at some point in this scene, we had to show them, but was it the writing
exactly.
that they didn't create a better hiding place to do it? I don't know.
How about they do that and we're like, wait, what? But we lead up to the same exact moment and then they drop a line instead of having it later. You know that we did that spell that only we could see us. I know, but it just gives me nervous that people at the funeral might recognize it's us. Boom. Would have solved the whole thing that they already did this, because it makes no sense that their kids think that they're someone this whole time that they didn't think of this. So that would have solved everything for me. I think it was lazy writing.
Okay.
If it was, and it is, Rob, say it with me, the final season. Victor is approached by a real estate agent named Paul Haas, who Rob is going on the meter.
Yes, he's definitely going on the meter. And I kept looking at him being like, I've seen you before. And I'm thinking it's probably this.
I think so too.
I looked him up. He showed up like on one episode of another show that I watch. It's I don't even think it was one episode. I think it was recurring. It was Containment from CW. But I don't remember that show well enough to remember him on that show. So anyways, maybe it's just this. Maybe I'm just recognizing him from Charmed. But he had a familiar face. But yes, definite hot man meter for me. He is my second.
I have him there, but he is actually, should we have mentioned Leo? Oh, so Leo is also going on. Leo and Victor.
Oh, you're putting Victor on there again. Okay.
All three of these men that far appeared are called.
Okay, wow. That's cool.
Wow, that's like, is that the biggest drop in one at once?
Not yet.
Paul Haas, who? Prize? Oh, prize into the sister's cause of death. It wouldn't be a season, people, if Ryan couldn't speak English. And Leo's disappearance. Victor tells him to get lost and leaves, then enters by flame into a sect of demons in the underworld to announce to them it's certainly that the charmed ones are dead. A demon assuming leadership over the next band of demons in the wake of Zanku's defeat, Haas plans to establish a foothold in the mortal world and rise to power by acquiring the manor after killing Victor. Ancient Keys is calling off the case over the protestations of the younger partner Murphy. Keys admits he's faking calling off the case so that the Hollowells resurface and Murphy will spot them. I think this is actually a smart plan for a demon to
use
acquire mortal the house. Ways. Yeah. Yeah, get the house, play it like under the radar for now. The charmed ones are gone. Kill the father, take the baby, and rule the underworld. I think just for that, he actually, you know what, pretty good for demons as you know, up until now. I will say this is the season that I feel like all the demons are going to be leather-bound, good-looking people for the remainder of the series with a little sprinkle of demons in between.
Yeah.
Just everyone take note. They'll probably get even better looking each week. Again, this annoys me. No mention of Daryl's. That's Daryl's desk, everybody. You know what? Like, something. I know that they mentioned this at some point. I believe, again, that Daryl was, you know, he's transferred. But still, something right from the start. I mean, I knew already going into it, reading that he had been gone for budget cuts. But something, people. I don't know. Disrespect for me. After that character's been there so long. But that's it.
So to go back to Haas, so I just want to give a little bit of tidbit with him. So he ended up winning a reality competition show, I Want to Be a Soap Star. And so he actually won.
That sounds familiar.
And he ended up on, I think, Bold and the Beautiful or General Hospital. I can't remember which one. But I thought that was a really cool achievement. Then we have the other demon who was sort of the opposite of the tactful Haas. We have Elkin, who's played by Derek Magyar. So Derek is very, very familiar. So I looked him up. He also has a somewhat of a small gay following because he was in this very independent but very talked about gay film called Boy Culture, which is going to be made into a series starring him as well, if I remember correctly. And it also stars opposite Daryl Stevens. And this movie was filmed in Seattle. So for me, I recognized a lot of the locations that were used. But I highly recommend watching Boy Culture. It's a very good film. And I'm glad that they turned it into a series. And I'm really looking forward to it. So yeah, definitely look that up. But it was, you know, it had Derek Magyar in it. Ooh. He did not make my meter, though.
That's true. Can you imagine if we filled this halfway by the first episode?
But who did make my meter? This is my third guy. We meet Agent Murphy. Brandon Quinn, a.k.a. Teen Wolf. The original Teen Wolf. Okay.
Listen, he's going on the list, but I just couldn't put him all on this first episode. I didn't want to be that person. But now that you did it, Rob,
I did it.
Boom, number four.
So, something about Brandon Quinn, you probably knew this, Ryan, but just in case you did not, he actually was supposed to be in the Charmed verse a little earlier than season 8 because he filmed the Mermaids pilot, which was the Charmed spinoff based on season 5. So yeah,
I don't know
if he was just the average guy falling in love with the mermaid. Was he also another agent? I don't know, but he filmed it and we don't get to see it.
I bet you that's one of those I want in the Charmed hall of like the diehards. They probably like traded over the dark web. Like, you got the mermaid pilot.
So I think this is the only scene we get of Murphy, but it set up the tone that he is going to be around for a while. He's going to keep an eye on them, figure out if they're still dead. The FBI still kind of suspects that there's some shenanigans going on. They're pulling the illusion that they are leaving and letting them be. So I do like that setup. Phoebe, in her other form, approaches the guy from the office, but Piper gets him out of the house before Phoebe blows their cover. I cannot believe how thirsty she was in this. Oh, this was so funny. Wyatt is concerned about the fact that he can't recognize his mother. So Phoebe comes up with a plan to use the Book of Shadows to cast a spell to fix themselves each in one look, but they will look like themselves to their family. I call upon the ancient powers to mask us now and in future hours. Hide us well and thoroughly, but not from those we call family. All right, so this was what's crazy about this particular spell, which I think is great because now there's not going to be any issue about the original charm ones being in scenes, and then sometimes we'll see their glamored selves, right? So originally, the idea was supposed to be any scenes outside of the house was supposed to be acted from the glamored actresses. We were never to see any of the charmed ones in public. Only in the house is when we were to see them. So they almost went with this idea, but they canned it and then went with this spell. So the glamours only show up in mirrors. Or reflection, I should say. Not bad.
That would have been, I would have hated. I mean, I think they realized that. And I read, I think it was also that, A, it would, of course, help with costs, but it was because the actresses too wanted to not be there on the set all the time. I kept always hearing too, so it gave them both time off. But no, I mean, between that, Billy, no Daryl, I don't know if we could have handled that all at once.
It's fair, totally fair. I mean, it would have given them a lot of time off and just, you know, whatever, but yeah, I think we wanted to see the sisters more. So Dex makes a comment to Phoebe, and he says that he never gets over the fact that someone who is as beautiful can be insightful. Was that a read? Like, was he saying like, oh, you're hot, therefore, like, wow, I can't believe you're insightful? The two not go together? It felt a little bit of a read, but she takes it as a huge compliment and almost busts herself. But did I read that right? Is that
It sounded so awkward to me as well. It's supposed to make it.
Maybe it's just like I don't know. Maybe you just don't see it often to have like a beautiful woman yet someone who's also insightful and intelligent. But it just sounded like either
a cliche though. It sounds like such a cliche. Like you can't be beautiful but also nice.
Yeah, I don't know. But so when Wyatt didn't recognize, you know, the glamours, right?
So
when they change back, you can hear Wyatt talking. And he goes, Mommy, Auntie Phoebe. And it seemed like he was labeling them as if we didn't know who they were. Like, that's Mom and that's Phoebe. Oh, got it. Okay. But it was cute.
Honestly, it could be for someone who, if you're actually joining in the last season because you heard that your favorite actress from Eight Simple Rules is going on a witch show. And you're like, okay. Although I hope no one came of this first episode and it was like, what? They're this, then they're this, they're girls.
Which brings me to the last part of the scene. They're interrupted by Paige's jingle after the spell. Meanwhile, a leather-clad woman dons a black wig and weaponry and goes out on some mission. So we have Billy's entrance. This outfit. Alrighty then. First of all, I don't mind the wig, right? Because you obviously want to do a different hair color. But this outfit still makes you stand out so much. And your weapons are clear and like visible. Like everybody can see. I don't know. For me, I would be like, why does this woman have a knife on her like ankle?
Yeah. Exactly. She looks like she wants to be like an ex person.
But who is this mysterious woman? Do you remember how you felt kind of when that scene was being played out with her theme music and everything?
The same way that I do. What year was this? Like, I get it. And it was the whole, I think Alyssa even said once on one of these things, like, yeah, now she gets to wear the sexy outfits and I don't have, you know, so we get it. She's beautiful, but it's over the top. You're right. And everyone would be staring at this person. And maybe that's what Billy wants.
Could be.
The sisters come in with new identities, histories, and cast a spell to create them. And Phoebe decides to go shopping now. And they, this whole thing with Phoebe and Piper. They went to the shoe store, Rob.
Yeah.
I believe the quote was...
Yeah, say it.
He works at a woman's shoe store. What's the chance that he's not gay?
Yeah, a man at a woman's shoe store, he's probably
gay. Al Bundy.
Gay, yeah.
What about Al Bundy?
But that wasn't a woman's shoe store, was it?
No, you're right. It was just a whole shoe store.
I think women just only showed up there. Or yeah. Maybe it was. I can't remember. I don't remember it being only women, but he only had women customers.
But it's of the time... But it's so, I did not remember that at all. I don't know. I blanked that whole thing out. Did you remember that?
No, I didn't remember that line.
And I was like, wait, did I hear? I mean, I'm not offended, but it was just like, it was so funny to hear, like, wow, what a difference. So they decide to go shopping now that they've relieved of hunting demons. Paige suspects Haz of being a demon, and Phoebe hauls Piper along while Paige remains behind to relax. Piper is reluctant about the big change, even though she now has a normal life that she's always wanted. See, Piper, I think we said this before, but I don't think Piper will ever be happy.
What do you mean, like, at all?
I think, and this is not, I'm not trying to be negative to her character, everybody. I'm just saying she's one of those people that I think will always find fault in everything.
Well, she said, just let her vent, let her do her thing. She usually comes around at
she
the
does.
End of the day.
She does, honest. I'll give her that, Piper. Piper goes to check up on P3, and the guy running it? While Phoebe contemplates the loss of her column. So, was that gentleman... on before? He looked so familiar.
He did look familiar, and I'll tell you why. He showed up on a movie that you know, I think, very well.
Because I'm like, this
no,
guy?
But as far as the show, I don't think he's been there before. From what I can remember, I don't think he's shown up. But she has a lot of employees that always just end up coming out. I mean, where's Rex? We don't see Rex anymore. Rex disappeared, so... Yeah, she must have, like, a lot of turnaround, but he's very familiar with the layout and coming in and being like, who are you?
I gotta say, I was like, wow, that's a... Okay, I can't wait. Well, and then Phoebe contemplates the loss of her column. Paige is griping to Grams about the lack of any real life and that she doesn't know where to start. Grams isn't thrilled about the fact that no one consulted her about abandoning the Hollowell legacy. Grams basically tells Paige to live with her choice and go out and find her thrill. Paige is having a cup of coffee when a guy hits on her, but they're interrupted by a purse snatcher. Paige goes after him, but loses the guy because she didn't orb, which... I don't think she would have done anyway outside, but then gets more jingling. Okay. Grams. Wow. What did you think about Grams' new look? And
still sassy as ever. I love that she just shows up, and it wasn't like this big theatric moment. She's just there already. They conjured her, and she's just corporeal, all of that stuff. She's just there. And it seemed very casual and natural, and I like that. And I also like that Paige did it. Those two seem to be very close now. The fact that she turns to her for advice, I thought was brilliant, because it's usually Piper who does it.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed how natural it was for her to just be there today.
I agree, honestly. I liked it for the same reason that Paige actually... Either that, or it's sad again that Paige has nobody in her life. But honestly, I guess at this point, who could she talk to besides Grams or someone dead? Yeah, makes sense. The whole thing with Paige and that gentleman. So did Paige frequent that beforehand? And that guy was like, well, I was never attracted to you before when you were how you looked. Because he said, I would have recognized a beautiful woman because you're not a regular. So it made me think that Paige was a regular.
Paige probably was a regular, but she was there with Jack most of the time. Not Jack, Kyle.
Oh, you're giving that guy an excuse. I think he was just dissing her. Now he likes what he sees.
Could be. I don't know.
I mean, everyone's got taste, Rob, but oh my
it's
God.
It's funny because she says, oh my God, you're so beautiful. And she's like, rub it in. I thought that was so funny.
I was like, oh, damn. Damn. It was like a double insult. Paige wouldn't have orbed, right, Rob? Paige?
Would she have gone after a purse snatcher, though?
No.
I mean, I don't think it's wrong that she did it, but I've never seen her like. I mean, she tends to people if they need help, for sure. Somebody's choking on something, she'll give the Heimlich. You know, she sees somebody getting bullied, or, you know, the whole Tyler thing when he's just, you know, with parents who are yelling, like, she'll intervene.
Right.
And, you know, she always got herself involved in all of these businesses. I just don't know of her to literally put herself in danger over a purse snatcher. It's just, it's not bad. If it's something new, that's great. I honestly did not expect her to get up and literally run. I mean, is she really gonna, but here's the thing, because we know what's gonna happen, it's natural for her to wanna do it, right?
Yes.
And we have to set up the fact that she still loves fighting. So, I mean, I get it. But I didn't expect her to just get up and run, you know?
No, that's what I mean. She is desperate. Paige is desperate. She needs to get back into it. It's called, the streets are calling to her. Those alleys, those dark alleys behind P3. And I think, yeah, that guy, I just took that as an insult. But that's okay. That's okay. We'll just say that he didn't recognize Paige before.
So the world is free of demons. You know, nobody knows you're around. You're considered dead. What is the first thing that you're going to do?
Ooh, I would definitely go to Disney World.
Okay, that's cool. So I guess, yeah, you couldn't go there while fighting demons, I guess. So that makes sense.
No, they can't go anywhere, right? Like, really? They can't go away for the weekend.
Well, I don't know. I'd honestly just tie up a lot of loose ends. I mean, it doesn't really sound that much fun, but as a glamored person, I'd be getting in people's faces like, why didn't you show up for my funeral, damn it?
You said you loved Rob. You said you loved him.
Right? How dare you? But it also gives you an opportunity to kind of like be somebody that you're not. If you've ever wanted to change yourself and like be someone, you know, that nobody knows, you know, you can change your whole persona and try different things. And so, but yeah,
that's true.
The black clad woman goes into a theater where a patron is having his fear from something he sees in the movie amplified by one of Haas's demon allies, which is weird. He has a name. It's Elkin, to the point of passing out and presumably dying. Paige orbs in though, following the white lighter jingle, and the demon attacks and stuns her. I love that they are able to have a full conversation and nobody cares at the moment. Like, they do shush them eventually, but it's like, I can't believe you're allowing them to talk even this much. But they are interrupted by the black clad woman, who does some acrobatic moves and then redirects his fireball back at him. She flees just as Paige wakes up, wondering who it was. So it seems that you are just never safe at the movies in the charm
verse. Nope,
just don't go to the movies because it's the most dangerous place you could ever be.
Yes, we do. We do know this. This is true. It's always this theater too.
Yeah.
This amount of people in it.
I think the movie that was playing on the screen was either footage from the Mummy episode of Tales from the Crypt, or the Mummy storyline from Tales from the Dark Side, the movie. I don't know which one, but there
good
were
observations.
Oh yeah, that mummy looks familiar. So it's got to be one of the two. But I recognize the footage immediately. I wanted to talk about the demon power that we just saw, which is called Fear Amplification. This is used by Elkin to amplify a man's fear, causing the man to have a heart attack. Now, this sounds similar to Barbus, but this is done very instantly. and not with so much flair. What do you think about this power?
I think it's a smart power along the lines of Barbas as well, fear. But yeah, this seemed like an instantaneous effect. So either these people are just more susceptible to being weak, aka compared to the charmed ones. But yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting power too. It's very specific. Like, we don't necessarily get to see the visuals of what it is that he's being scared of, but yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. So we get a little bit of taste of Billy. She's obviously a brush of fresh air. She's taunting the demon, saying a lot of catchphrases and sayings or whatever. She sounded very Spider-Man. This is a very Spider-Man thing. He would taunt anybody he attacks. I wonder, did Billy pay to get into the theater? How did she get into the theater?
She flipped her ass in there.
I'm like, how did you make it past the usher of the box office? Like, well, how did you get in? I just thought that was so funny.
Do you love the dramatic exit, too, that she flips her? I mean, God bless her. She wants, she gets that attention.
Yeah. So Victor and Leo are doing household chores, and Victor expresses his concerns. After Leo leaves, the elder Jonah arrives to console Victor about the loss of his daughters and tell Victor that the elders are considering raising the boys. Leo overhears them, but as Victor refuses and Jonah reluctantly accepts his decision, an injured Paige returns, and the guys notice her. While Haas confronts the demon who failed, mockingly addressing him as, oh, the great Elkin, before detailing a new plan to kill Victor at home. So This is part of my play. This is Victor standing up, and he immediately is like, you're not taking the kids. And over my dead body, and we get a look from Jonah, and he's like, okay, but you'll see. But he raises a lot of good points. I really, really enjoy this scene, and it is something that needed to be brought up, and I wish they had played that in a little bit.
Yeah, I mean,
us as audience know that the Charmed Ones are around, so clearly he's not going to be alone doing this. But I think it's a very interesting topic, because we did not get to see Victor raise these magical kids, and so it would have been really cool to kind of see a little bit of that being challenged. Yes. And like, can he be the sole proprietor while all of this stuff is going on? What do you think about what happened? Like, the elders trying to take Wyatt and Chris, like, do you feel that this was the necessary step for them to do? I don't want to influence how you think, but I honestly do. It's not surprising that they did this. It makes complete sense. What immediately came in my head was that you're going to raise them with your values. And that just disgusts me a little bit. But they do need some type of training and protection. I don't know. What do you think about this?
I agree. It's a fine line because they've seen, especially now that demons think the Charmed Ones are dead, that what's to stop any demon or any person who's going to try to take over the underworld from trying to kidnap these boys and killing Victor, who has no defense. So it makes sense that they want to avoid all of this. Although I agree that I actually think it would be the right idea, but at least I would say Victor, you know what, will somehow involve Victor in the process of still being around and raising them, but them helping with the magic stuff. I hear someone calling to us from a distance.
Oh, look at that.
It's Witch Watcher. She's still here. She's still here.
Awesome. Who does she see?
I'm going to make them evil forever. At the stroke of midnight, I will revoltalize them.
I don't recognize this one. Who is this?
Going back to my cartoon heritage, this is Revolta, the power-hungry witch from Scooby-Doo and
the Ghoul School.
Nice. I forgot about the Scooby-Doo witches. That's cool. Revolta, the name definitely sounds familiar.
Well, Rob, she is considered the witch of the web. And she plans to make the students of the Ghoul School. This is one of the 70s Scooby-Doo cartoons, movies, which I love. I used to watch all the time. And it was this all-girl school of the daughters of famous horror characters. And she wanted to take over the school and get all their powers. So she used hypnotizing headphones to hypnotize the girls, and she could create spider bats. She could project spells and enchant brooms and control minds. And she used a magical Y-shaped stick to do so.
Very nice. Well, welcome, Revolta. First witch of season 8.
Damn. Piper is at P3 and notices Victor has been changing the club music and the place isn't doing well. Dominique, an employee at P3, notices Piper and wonders who she is. She covers by saying that she is Victor's niece, which is why she has the passwords for the club's computers. Leo calls Piper to come back and deal with the situation, while Phoebe drops it at the paper and gets to hear them say nice things about her. She introduces herself as Phoebe's cousin and doesn't cover very well, then leaves. When she heads out, she runs into the hot guy in the elevator and gets his name, Dex Lawson. That somehow rhymes with sex, which is Sex in the City. When they shake hands, she gets a premonition of them marrying and going into the manor. Okay, we didn't bring up Dex too much earlier because I was waiting for this scene. I do not like this rushed storyline with this random dude that we're meant to believe that Phoebe's between all the other men in her life. She recognized Mr. Handsome Artist Man in the elevator. And now it's kind of weird because he's so deeply affectionate for Phoebe, but we're going to believe that now his affections are going to go to her cousin. I don't know. The whole thing is a little weird, a little questionable.
I hear you. I mean, they clearly had never met, right? But
no.
But Dex is familiar with Phoebe and her personality based on her column. So I'm guessing that personality is shining through the cousin, which is bringing his attraction towards her. Even though she doesn't look like her. That's one theory that I have.
That makes more sense. Okay, I'll accept that.
But, I mean, I see what you're saying. Okay, so our employee at P3 who notices Piper and was like, who are you? Do I need to call security? This is Dominic, a new employee at P3.
Oh my God, I read it as Dominique. So
it's Dominic. Yeah, Dominic. So this is my fourth and final man on Hot Man Meter. I added him. I think he is so damn cute. I just totally go for guys like him. And I don't know. I just liked his look and he went on the meter. I can't say how many of these men from the first episode will end up at the end, but for today, he's going on there. But
So
this gentleman definitely played in something. The Brady Bunch movie. He was Eddie the Carjacker.
Oh my God, yes. Holy. He didn't look like he aged at all.
I know. His hair just grew. That was it. But yes, he definitely looks the same. I love it.
Oh my God. He was out there carjacking cars in P3 because Piper was dead. Barry Manilow was coming.
Can you imagine getting a vision of the person you're going to marry? Ryan, would you immediately leave Guy if you got a premonition that you were marrying someone else?
Oh, someone else. I thought you meant like when I first met him.
No. You are currently in a relationship right now, but you get a vision. You're supposed to be married to somebody else. God, it's going to happen.
I don't know, because sometimes Phoebe's visions are like sent by a demon or something. I'd be like, is this real? Is this a real man?
Okay. All
are
right.
Are you real, man? Are you? Let him come first.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a great question, though. What would you do in that situation? You would trust your premonition?
Well, I mean, it would depend if I'm actually happy in my current one. And if I'm not, then most likely I'm probably going to trust this instinct that something's going to happen.
You're like, this is real. This is real.
But here's the other thing, though. Knowing the future also alters it. So I could be fucking it up trying to force it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm clearly not going to stay with somebody who I'm not meant to be with. I either have to trust my power or whatever. So it depends if I'm happy.
But then what about this? Let me just one up that. What if you know this information and like you said, you come on so hot and heavy. Like, why do I got to work? We're marrying anyway. And the person's like, what?
Well, I mean, yeah, you can't really just convince somebody, oh, we're meant to be together. But I think naturally, if you are going to be married, you would approach it in this confidence that you guys will get along. You will have stuff in common. He will be attracted to you. He will not reject you. Maybe he does. But if you have that confidence that you're meant to be, then, you know, this is a literal form of love at first sight. So I that's how I see it anyway.
I, you know what? And people say that's actually happened. So, you know what? Yes, I believe it.
So these visions are also in color with a very glowing, bright frame around it. What do you think about the change in visions now?
Yeah, I like it. This is, so budget has to go to somewhere, right? For Daryl. Might as well up the effects if he's not going to be here. I'm not bitter.
Back at the manor, the sisters get together as Paige is trying to locate the demon by scrying, much to her sister's dismay. Paige is feeling bad that she can't respond to the calls for help and talks about the woman who attacked the demon. Victor is putting the boys to bed when Haas arrives with Elkin and other demons to kill Victor. Grams arrives to help Paige out, and Paige gets another signal. Haas confronts Victor, but the black-clad woman arrives, and the sisters hear the resulting battles downstairs. Oh my god, I love this. They're hearing it, and then they just turn around and is like, oh, we gotta go downstairs. And then Grams is like, oh, just like the good old days. Yes. I love that line. I love that execution. I thought that was so fun, because it was so cool to have the sisters upstairs hearing this and immediately just running into danger. And it's just like, we're supposed to be done with this shit, but they run downstairs to help. I love it. It's just like the good old days. So the women disposes of Elkin and the third demon partner, but Haas makes his escape. It's clear that the woman has some kind of telekinetic powers and she takes off after thanking the sisters, because they warn her, look behind you and all that stuff. So this was actually a really nice action sequence. We see more of Billy's powers. You know, before she just reflected a fireball or you know, back at someone, but now she has telekinesis, you know, she's one with her athame, you know, that
what she got, Rob? What power does she have?
Yeah, so pretty cool. We're seeing more and more of her.
What do you, I mean, we'll get into Billy the more we get to know her. Honestly, this, she is a mystery at this point for us as a viewer in this first episode. So I don't want to go too hot into heavy, though, that it's amazing that she was able to, I don't even know, I train herself and get to this level in within, I want to say months. So depending on how long, I think she was doing it months. I mean, this is from my memory bank, which it's been, I was up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm so sorry, people. My brain isn't working today, but I think it's either amazing or it's just to go a preview of the future of the season of what's to come. But I don't know. Do you feel like it adds to her mystique? Are you like, oh yes, I love that she's this hot witch? Or you're like, well, damn, how did this, where was this girl? How did she come about? Where has she been?
I honestly think it adds a little bit to the mystique. I wasn't mad that she just has the know-how of tracking these demons and just being able to kind of show up wherever she's needed. Why she didn't show up earlier, I have no idea. But again, it does add to, like, who is she? What is her purpose? What is she trying to do? And the girls even mentioned, well, she didn't seem too scared about, you know, exposing her powers to anyone in the room. She was very confident in what she was doing. So right. There's something about this girl that's so unnoticed by a lot of people, but yet to her, it seems she's been doing this for quite a while. So yeah, it adds a little bit of mystique, I think.
And real quick, I am happy that Grams was there to back up Paige, and she was there saying, you know what, well, that's not Paige's decision. She could, you know, she has a say in this, so I really appreciated that.
Mm-hmm.
The sisters suspect the woman knows who they are or may have a way to home in on the calls that Paige has been getting. They figure they have to make a statement so the demons don't keep coming after Victor and the boys, but wonder how to do it without alerting the demons to their secret IDs. At his home, Victor is confronted by Hass and more underling demons. Hass asks who the women are and promises a painless death if Victor tells him. Victor identifies the sisters as cousins, and then Wyatt orbs in. Wyatt blows up all the demons except Hass, and Victor tells him to spread the word. Hass suspects that it wasn't really Wyatt, and the charmed ones are still alive. I mean, that was smart of him. I wouldn't have thought. I would be like, okay, that kid is crazy. Piper was disguised as Wyatt and Phoebe as Victor, and they think their plan worked. They figure the mysterious woman is Paige's charge, and she'll have to deal with it. At her home, the woman takes off her black wig and weaponry and reveals she's a blonde girl, Billy, who heads off to class. So we get to see Billy doing her title screen hair little thing in the mirror. That's going to be her image that we saw. Rob, are you intrigued?
Yeah, it's some girl who is still in college, which means she's super young. She has a life ahead of her, but yet she's decided to take on this dual role of saving, you know, the city, you know, rid with demons. Yeah, who is she? What does she want? What does she, you know, plan to do?
I hope that we pay attention because I want to see if this is Hope's dorm room from last season. I want to see the hallway. Let's see the hallway. Let's see if it's orange, I believe. Or was it purple? Maybe it was orange. Let's see if Hope left her dorm and gave it to Billy. They could have had a whole magic thing. Hope could have lived across the room in the dorm. I think it was a great plan, and I believe that I really thought they played Victor and Wyatt really well. So I love this plan.
That was so adorable. First of all, Wyatt comes in, swag as shit. He's got his hands in his pockets, standing there like, do you know who I am? You gonna learn today. And then he waves his hands, which I thought, again, was very adorable. I wish I could see the behind the scenes of how they got him to do that.
How they did that, yep.
That was so good. But then, just the fact that when they left, Wyatt turns to Victor and has the biggest grin ever. And I thought that was amazing. But just adorable. The fact of just shifting into, like, I thought Wyatt had did that. I didn't think that that was Piper. And I just thought that was really, really cool to have. And yes, it definitely made sense for them to have that specific plan for to spread the word and be like, he will kill you all if you come back here again, you know? So I thought that was so good. And yeah, you're right. It was a great plan. Let's see how long it lasts.
Yeah, good point.
All right, so that is the first episode. Not a bad start. I am still looking forward to the rest of the season. I, again, was surprised by a few things. So it seems that I don't have this season down well. I am really looking forward to see how much new stuff that I get surprised at or how much will come flooding back once I watch another episode. So the next thing that we're going to do, I mentioned in the trailer, every episode now we are going to decide where on the high stakes meter the villain of the week just happens to land upon. And just as a refresher for anyone who did not listen to the teaser, we have five different levels of high stakes. Basically, you go from boring to annoying to being pretty basic, upper level, or deadly. So, Ryan, how would you rate on this meter our demons, this plan to kill Victor and their attack and how they execute it? Where on the stakes meter do they reside?
Rob, I'm going right in the center at basic. I don't think it was a boring plan, and I don't think it was an annoying plan. I think it was a smart plan. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Billy was able to take on all these demons and all this, I'm going to say basic, because not upper level and not deadly. We have seen worse from charmed demons in the past.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And yes, I'm going to second that. These are pretty basic demons, but does that mean they were the worst? Absolutely not. I think no. They had a good plan, but just like every demon of the week, it just doesn't work out at the end. So no, good call on that.
Thank you.
Now, Ryan, tell us who was the best dressed this episode.
I almost went triple power of three with Paige being everything, because at one point, Rob, she has this cute little pink outfit. I sent you a picture of it. She's got pink pants on. She's got Pippi Longstocking braids, and she's got this pink top with the Swiss Army looking thing. That thing. You know, everyone, that thing. But I'm actually giving it to Phoebe, because in the kitchen in the beginning, when we see their new hair for the season, Phoebe is in this tan top, and her hair looked beautiful. Alyssa looked gorgeous in this. So I think Phoebe is getting best dressed from her funeral look.
Awesome. Very good. Well, that's Fashions with Ryan. Next week on Charmed, Malice in Wonderland. I have no idea. No idea.
I know we get more of Billy.
Yes, we definitely get more of Billy. I had a feeling that was going to happen. I have absolutely no idea what this episode's about.
I do think it has an Alice in Wonderland subplot, though, with the demons, from what I remember. I think that Ooh. Title might not be as cliche or, you know, generic as it seems, I believe.
Very cool. All right. Well, I definitely look forward to that. So we will be back with another episode next week. I hope you guys enjoyed the new changes that have come around in this first episode. As discussed in the teaser, we will be playing our Charmed themed games a little bit more frequently, as I think most of you really enjoyed having us play those. We haven't decided which one we're going to start with, but we will be playing this game in our next episode.
Never have I ever.
All right. Well, I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful brunch. Enjoy your Sunday or whichever day you're listening to this. Thank you again for listening. And I'm excited to go through this final season with everyone. So have a good one.
Bye, Charmies. Bye-bye.
A new guy looking for love.
Hi. Hi. This year you're gonna have to have a little...
A new girl dressed for danger.
Teach me everything you know about witchcraft.
One condition. Lose the cheap vinyl outfit.
A new season of Charmed on the WB's Big Sunday.